You're listening to the Social Media Church Podcast, the place for conversations with church leaders about social media. And you are tuned in to the momentous milestone of episode 100. And I am DJ Chuang, and on this very special episode, I want to share with you the good news, the great news that we have a new website address. Yes, a new domain name, and it is socialmedia.church. The old links will still work from previous episodes, but you'll need to update your bookmarks to socialmedia.church. And that's where the show notes will be. And for those of you that are new listeners, that's where you can subscribe as well as browse the archive of over 99 episodes previous to this one. To celebrate this occasion with me and you, the listeners, is Pastor Kenny Jang of Liquid Church in New Jersey. And he is the online campus pastor as well as the media and innovation pastor. And we certainly talk about social media. We even talk about old school email. We got to talk about what the latest is in social media as well as traditional media and what they're doing there at Liquid Church. Let's get the party started.
Good.
We welcome back Kenny Jang, the Godvertiser himself. Episode number one, and now we are episode 100. And I don't pump out more than one episode a week, so this is 2 years in the making.
Woohoo! Congratulations!
Thank you. You sparked a revolution, at least a mini one anyways.
Well, I'm wearing my orange shirt in respect, honor, and celebration to be with my friend DJ Chuang here today.
Well, thank you so much for making the time, and I'm sure a lot has happened on your side in 2 years, and we're here to talk about social media. So what's happened in your life and social media and being an innovation pastor?
Well, it has been a wild ride this year, hasn't it? We've seen a lot of things happen within the communication space, both inside Liquid Church here in New Jersey and outside with a lot of the nonprofits and ministries that I work with. I think in the big picture perspective, I would say that people are upping their game. There are more tools available to communicators out there, and that organizations are embracing it just like ours are here. And the second one is people are experimenting. People understand. The second thing is that people really understand that this is the time to try out new things. So there are tools today that we weren't using 12 months ago. There are tools that we've been waiting for, like Instagram. Here, we've just really recently started to really embrace Instagram in a big way, trying to systematize all our video production, media production, so that 15-second videos get implemented whenever we produce videos for other formats, other channels. Instagram has now been slotted in as one of those. Texting is another thing that we've been using, not too much social media necessarily, but it is that ancillary tool that everyone uses. And email. Email's still the killer app, DJ. I can't believe it.
You're calling email the killer app. I mean, that's so retro. That's so old school.
It feels like it, but you know, at the end of the day, email is like, if you can show up in someone's email inbox with permission, you can show up every day. You have relevance, right? You actually are part of their lives. Just like it is, you know, Facebook feeds. You know, how much harder has it been for brands, church pages, to actually show up in a Facebook feed these days? We've seen Facebook just, you know, hammer, you know, the brands that are trying to use the Facebook platform to get into the lives of their people. The latest stat I've seen is that they've gone down from 11% to 6%, and now brands are showing up 3% to 4% as a target in the next 6 months, 3% of the time in the people that follow you, which is kind of crazy, right? People have explicitly given your brand permission to show up in their feed, in their life, and yet Facebook is throttling it mostly for business purposes, right? They want you to, quote, boost that ad or post that ad or basically pay Facebook to show up in your people's feeds. But so, yeah, I think other ways of getting in front of your people engaged is something this next year is going to be all about. finding more mediums, more ways to engage with your people.
Yeah, the word very much is engagement, and underneath of that is content strategy, because without compelling, engaging content, people don't have much to engage with.
Yeah,
so definitely. We've definitely got a lot to talk about, because we haven't connected, at least on socialmedia.church, in years. And on episode 100, we're rolling out a new domain name, socialmedia.church. It is one of the new GTLDs, generic top-level domains.
Love it.
Industry is watching that .church is actually getting used, while hundreds of others, they're being rolled out, and there's investors that are holding on to supposedly and potentially good, valuable domain names. .church has really caught the attention of the industry, because people in churches are actually using .church domains, which is amazing. And what do you think about .church?
Yeah, I think so. We secured liquid.church here at this ministry, so you'll probably see it over the next couple of months as we develop our content strategy to figure out how to use it. We actually have a short code, lqd.ch, that we use in all our promotions for shortcut URLs. So we probably are going to test out that transition to see if liquid.church/whatever is a great way to communicate URL landing page destinations. We're also thinking about other ways to utilize that domain. I think it's one of those places where you just got to test and see what works. Not everything we throw at it is going to stick, and it's just that willingness to really, you know, be innovative and see. Again, we always say that we're a focus group of one. We don't have all the answers, and we just got to see what everyone else really is going to do with it. But yeah, I think that domain and some others that are coming down the pike are very interesting. But the reason why I think that .church is getting play is, you know, pastors on Twitter are known to be very influential in convening conversations. And so it doesn't surprise me that .churches are going the same way.
Yeah, and what's neat is as I think about churches now using .church, and there's about a dozen of them that I found so far that are actually using it, not just as a redirect, but actually having it resolved to their primary website.
Yeah.
Is you're getting to use every single letter in your communication for part of your name. So in terms of branding, it's very strong. It will take some time for people to get used to something other than .com or .net or .org. And there is room for innovation, like you suggested, that maybe you can use some different keywords. It's easier to communicate verbally.
Yeah.
You don't have to spell letters out. And so there's a lot of upside. So this will be a very exciting time in terms of how this will help churches better further their mission. But do you have 100 minutes to be on this episode today?
Sure. Do you want to play 100 minutes?
No, I'm not going to press it. I'm not sure our listeners will stick around that long, but I definitely do have 100 minutes of questions for you. So what's happened in your role at Liquid Church since episode one? I mean, you've taken on a new title, and I've seen you being more visible as an online campus pastor with different video snippets and even a watercolored pink shirt on one special occasion that's just imprinted in my head. So I'll hand it off to you. So tell us how your role has changed and evolved with innovation.
Sure. So I'm trying to think back. 100 episodes is actually a long time ago. The title has not changed significantly. Officially, I'm the media and innovation pastor here at Liquid Church. I have taken on a new role, explicitly pastoring the church online campus. We have 4 physical campuses here across the state of New Jersey at Liquid Church. We gather approximately 3,500 people on a Sunday. But then we have this church online campus that reaches globally. But we've also done a shift there with our church online ministry. We've actually explicitly tried to make church online the entryway to our 4 campuses, our local campuses, right? So we say all the time that social media is now the new front door to your church, right? Just like the website is the welcome mat right in front of the door. People visit your website. People look at your social feeds and activities way before they actually step foot on your property as to a worship service or one of your church events. And so we've been really trying to see, hey, how do we use the church online experience to really maximize that portion of the audience that is checking out what Liquid Church is about, what our DNA is, our core values, our culture, our people, our teaching and preaching from our lead pastor and our teaching pastor. And so we've been pretty successful in shifting the demographics. I would say before the shift, we had, you know, tons of traffic in many different cities across the world. In fact, at one point in the history of Liquid Church Online, we had a whole site in Australia where we found enough people watching online. We connected them together, and they started watching together physically in their own footprint there. And now the majority of our attendees are from the U.S., not international, and we've really focused on staff visibility. So I will be in a hosting spot just like you would in a local worship experience in an offline campus, where I would come on as the campus pastor, but I'll bring on one of the four different local campus pastors with me, so that you put a face to a name, you see how quirky they are, you see how human they are, and very approachable, hopefully, and some connection points in terms of conversation. And so you know that Pastor Richard from our Mountainside campus is a Mets fan, so you might have pity on him and visit his campus, right? You know that Pastor Peter from Nutley is into spearfishing and outdoors, et cetera, and so that might be a connection point with him. So we're trying to humanize our pastors and our staff so that it really lowers the bar for you to get onto a campus. So that's a major strategic shift that we've done, and we've been quite pleased with how it's gone so far.
Well, that is a major strategic shift to go from just global and trying to build an online Second Life community to a feeder, what you call the front door, the new front door to your on-the-ground campuses. And so do you have data or results showing that it's working?
Well, I can tell you anecdotally, so this afternoon we're going to do a church online video shoot, and I have Pastor Richard from our Mountainside campus joining me. On almost a weekly or biweekly basis, he's got someone from Church Online coming to talk to him literally at the campus on a Sunday. And we make the call-outs, right? So all the campus pastors, it's the same joke, because I say, hey, if you're on Church Online and you're in the tri-state area, if you're visiting the New York area for vacation or something, reach out to us. We'll connect you with one of our campus pastors. I'm sure they would love to take you out for coffee. And they always reciprocate. They say, yes, and in fact, Kenny will pay for that coffee if you come, right? And so they joke about it. But, yeah, people take them up on the offer. So we are actively getting connection cards and emails getting sent in to make those connections on a Sunday when they actually visit us. So almost, I would say, every week there's someone from Church Online that talks to one of our four campus pastors that says, hey, I saw you on Church Online, or they'll reference some of the fun stuff that we do on Church Online. That's a great feeling, right? We're making a connection. We're making the transition from online to offline to bring them into real community here. We've got strategies for people if you're not in this New Jersey area as well. But it's fun to see that happen in person here.
Hey, I hope you're not joking, because I will be coming to the New York City area mid-November. And I'll send you the dates. And I would love to meet with Kenny.com.
Awesome. Hey, look.
That was easy.
Any of the watchers, the viewers here, like if you are in this tri-state area, it's authentic. It's a call out to say, hey, if you're in the area, we'd love to connect with you. We'd love to connect with you on Skype first if you're Google Hangouts. This is definitely a place to do it. We actually have a Facebook group that's private for some of our Church Online folks who want to get into a life group. And so we've been managing that, and that's where a lot of connections are being made. We've actually had a family from the UK that just visited this past year. After being in a life group with us, they actually made it out and visited us in person. So things like that are, I would say, that's the fun part of doing church online with a global village.
Yeah, and you're really making it sticky with your on the ground and your lots of social media engagement and interaction. So how many online services do you run? It sounds like it's more of a real time or simulated live experience. And then how do you give exposure and engagement to your campus pastors between Sundays?
Sure. So right now we've got 5 services a week. You can find the service times on liquidchurch.com. Wednesday evenings, Saturday evenings, and then on Sunday mornings and evening. We're actually looking to mix up that schedule because we like to echo our local campuses, and the growth at our local campuses have been phenomenal. We just have been blessed because our people are taking us seriously and they're inviting their friends, right? The only way the church is going to grow is if you continuously to invite your friends. And we say, invite your friends, just don't be weird, right? And people are taking us up on that word. So we are changing the service times at our local campuses. Currently, for instance, we are at 9:30 and 11:30 on Church Online on Sunday mornings. Some of our campuses are going to at 9 o'clock, 10:30, 12 o'clock service time. So we're looking to change and mirror that experience because we want to be just like our local campus. We are another campus, another venue. So that's one of the things that's happening to make sure that people are in the know, right? So if you're attending church online at 11:30 and you're local, you might as well just hop onto a regular campus at the same time, 11:30, that same rhythm, etc. So that's one of the things we're trying to do.
Very cool. And then I think I saw some YouTube videos. So what are you doing unique on that channel?
Again, video is a great, at this church, we understand that video kind of gets across the friction barrier of communication across the internet, across distances. Sometimes text works. We're going to a post-text type of culture, right? Images has been the next big thing, and so we're producing tons of images. But video is the next step of interaction in this type of environment. In fact, our media teams are producing probably, I think the last check-in I did with them this past month, they're producing about 300 gigs of HD video a week, which is quite a lot. We've got multiple cameras rolling on a Sunday. We actually have converted 2 conference rooms. I'm in one of the conference rooms here. The other one that was available, I should have been in there, is converted into a green screen room. So there's actually 2 of the offices. Some people sit in one of the offices. They've converted into a green screen room. So that we produce video fluidly here. And part of that is staff visibility. We want it to not just to be about solo pastor, just idolizing a few key people, but really increasing staff visibility. But it also is to give accessibility to people so that the more faces and names that you know and see, and again, video allows the humanity, the human abilities to come out, the human side, then they're more approachable. And that's what we want. We want connections, right? So in a big box church, when you scale to a certain size, the concern is that you lose the touch points. And video is part of that. So we're trying to promote every aspect of the church on video, and YouTube channel is just one of them.
Yeah, because in communication, they say, the words are less than 10% of the message or the meaning that comes through. And when you add audio, that's another 30, 40%. And then you add video, then you've got body language. Then you're getting maximum message delivery for mass engagement.
Yes.
Are you playing with
Yeah, you know. Right? You understand from video that I'm excited to talk to you today, right? You can just tell that the kinship is here and that we are excited to be together. And so that's part of the strategy, is to really display video. And that's why on Instagram, if you have 15-second videos, that ability, why just do the text or text on images or just photos? Why not go to the point of sharing video to do that? And so one of the things we're doing this next quarter, as we go into the Thanksgiving Christmas season, is we're going to do like a hijacked type of series where every Sunday one department gets to hijack our Instagram feed, and they're going to share videos and photos from their point of view. What does it look like to be a roadie? At 4 a.m, a video of the trucks backing into the loading dock and unloading the 2 tons of gear that they have to set up and break down every single Sunday. Those you know, backstage type of things. What does it look like to be with the kids ministry or the middle school ministry or the worship ministry, right, et cetera? So those are the types of things where video and photo, multimedia in general, we're trying to expose.
Yeah, and you got your church got a feature in the Leadership Network blog about your roadie group. Typically, yeah, churches call them set up and tear down, but you've actually made it into a special experience. Describe that.
Oh, definitely. Our church would not happen with our roadies. In fact, if I post today some sort of feature or thank you or call out to our roadies on our Facebook page, instantly 100 likes or more within a couple of hours, just because we've really celebrated who they are. They're the ones. We have some roadies in our signature campus at Morristown. We host our services at the Morristown Hyatt Hotel. Some of our roadies come in Saturday night to sleep over in the Hyatt Hotel so that they can be there hitting the trucks at 4 o'clock in the morning to set up services. So can you imagine our first service at 9 o'clock from 4 to 9? There's so much to do. And so they're in there. And then they wear shirts that they're proud. It's first in, last out. The roadies at Liquid is what make church happen. And so we, on every single campus, we celebrate them. And it's also a ministry where, you know, the people who might not typically be afforded an opportunity to, or they might not feel comfortable serving in some other portions of the traditional ministry as ushers or different places. Roadies is a place where they can serve and get plugged in and really get to know the community. So we love our roadies. We love our roadies.
Yes, and we'll definitely add a link in the show notes for people to get a 360 perspective on just how special it is to be a roadie at Liquid Church. Yes. The Instagram. So you start talking about Instagram and how you're producing 15-second videos, but how do you get those uploaded? You have to do it off mobile, don't you?
Yes, that's the secret sauce, right? Trying to figure out how do you distribute them. So we're getting at the point where I'm even sending out for some special occasions the MP4 files via all staff emails or to certain teams so that we don't want them just posted and shared from our main corporate Liquid Church account. But you do want it to, you want to utilize all the staff, the pastoral teams, core volunteer teams to let people use the content. In fact, I've got some volunteers who are screaming at me and said, we want more content to share. We're excited to be a part of what is happening here in New Jersey. Give us more content to share. We want to share. And so there's definitely a demand to be able to do that. There's many ways to do that. Email is a great way. As an email attachment, they can download to their camera roll and publish that way. That's one easy way. Another one is Dropbox doesn't allow you, but box.net, box.com, that app allows you to save to camera roll. So that's another cheat sheet type of quickie tip there.
Okay, thanks for the cheat sheets, because it sounds like you're producing these special videos. You're not just doing spontaneous 15-second shots, although you might mix that up too.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we're doing both. We're doing on the spot, right? So like the hijack in our Instagram feed is on the spot. Let's do some quick interviews. Let's do some panoramics. Let's use some cool Instagram apps to mix the videos and the photos into mosaics, et cetera. Let's do that stuff. But then there's some corporate, messaging that we do, promo videos, things like that, that we push out to all our staff and our core volunteer teams, right? There's two modes in social media that we always say. There's the megaphone, and then there's the telephone. You can't do one. You got to do both. There's a place for both. But mostly people make the mistake, right? There's one of the talks I give, the title is, please put down the megaphone, because no one wants you to just be yelling about me, 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 me all day. You got to do both. Megaphone, telephone, both in the mix.
Describe the telephone metaphor. That's kind of new in this conversation. It sounds innovative. Yeah. What's a telephone?
No, it's pretty old school. So basically, it's one of the core, you know, the entry level training programs that I do for teams is really talking about that cocktail party analogy, right? So you'll go into a cocktail party, And that's what Twitter is. That's what social media is, right? And so you want to be able to have that context in your mind that says, hey, who has the most relevance at a cocktail party? Who has the largest circle of people gathering around them? It's the people who are witty, who are engaging, who tell stories, jokes, content that are valuable to the people in those circles, right? That's what attracts. The things where you're talking about something and then you'll go off and share with someone, hey, you got to go listen to DJ because he's sharing this, right? Those noteworthy snippets, those types of things. If you walked into that cocktail party with a megaphone and you just started yelling at people all about buy this, come to this event, it's all about me, and you literally are shouting, no, your circle would evaporate. It would disappear. You would be the wallflower. And you would be stuck there saying, hey, I'm broadcasting this 10 times using Hootsuite to schedule all of my messages so it goes out every half hour on the half hour, but I've got no followers. How come no one's replying? How come no one's retweeting me? How come no, right? You're sitting there, and if you were in a cocktail party with a megaphone, you'd clearly understand why. And that's exactly what's happening. So we say, there's a perfect time for the megaphone, right? You make announcements to the whole group. Hey, the buffet has opened. Hey, the cocktail bar has restocked. Hey, you know, this person has just entered the room. There's a great place for the megaphone. You don't want to keep using it. Sometimes you want to use the telephone. You want to use conversations that where if you have a conversational tone and voice that's meant for one-on-one or one to a small group of people. And that's the difference between the two modes of engagement on social media. You need both. You can't have one or the other. You need both.
That is so well explained. Thank you for that. And the most important megaphone announcement to make is, hey, time for last call. Get your drinks in.
Yes, it is. Exactly.
And when we started this conversation, you talked about just how many tools there are in technology and social media. Which one has caught your attention that you're experimenting with next?
I think for us is, again, still the how do you convene groups? And so whether it's my middle schooler daughter who's using, Uvu, which is the latest mobile app that does video conferencing on the fly. So it's kind of like this Hangout thing, but it's on a mobile app, O-O-V-O-O.
That's been around a bunch of years.
Sure, it's been around for a while.
Six.
But using it from a corporate experience to help convene, I think hasn't been used that often. And so is that something you want to do? Is Facebook groups still the place to have efficient means of communications? Is it Hangouts like this where you're starting to now have the ability to automate kind of like webinars type stuff where you have one-to-many or some-to-many type of broadcast and have interactive elements. Those are the things that we're trying to struggle with. It's the conversation I'm having with Jay at Saddleback Church and pushing back because Jay just announced they're trying to move away from the simulated live and the moderated experience. Here at Liquid Church, Church Online, we say that we are not the church of Netflix. Worship does not mean, when you have a worship service, it does not mean on-demand playback. You don't rewind, you don't hit pause, etc. It's a simulated live experience where there's always a moderated chat. There's someone who's trained, who's a volunteer or staff member, who's there interactive with you, who's able to pray with you, who's able to go off into a one-on-one session with you if you need it, to refer you, to bring you on, to answer questions. Where my pushback to Jay is, you lose that in on-demand. You can't call that a service. That's not a worship service. Now, he's bickering there on theology, et cetera, but you know what? At the end of the day, I think we're called as pastors, as leaders of the church, to care about those things. Some of the people who haven't been exposed to church or Jesus Christ, they might not care about it, but I think it's our responsibility as church leaders to care about it, and that's why I said it's not meant to be a theological battle in a blog comment. We need to have that conversation in the proper forum. And I said, actually, DJ, you might be the person to facilitate that discussion. Maybe it's a hangout here. Maybe it's an offline conversation. But it is struggling with those types of things. I think that's what really matters, and that's where we're struggling. What does it mean to have community in terms of technology? What's technology's place in terms of being the medium to mediate our relationships. So, like I say, it's not virtual church, it's not virtual people, and that's not a virtual God. It's real church, real people, real conversations, real worship, where it's virtually mediated by this medium of technology. So that's where we're struggling with, and that's what we're trying to figure out these days, right? So
I'm a little confounded. I mean, here you are, you're doing something that is embodying Liquid Church in an online medium to better engage with people so that they connect with your offline community. And then on the other side of the West Coast there at Saddleback Church, they're actually wanting to be a church of Netflix where people can get on-demand church. How can both of those, or not so much both of them be right, but how does a church decide which one they should go with?
So at the end of the day, this is why we have community. This is why I love you. That's why I love Jay. That's why I love Nils in Texas. There are these leaders in our church online community and the church community as a whole that's willing to be open and have a conversation, right? None of us, I'm not saying it, Jay's not saying it, you're not, right? I think the posture is none of us have this figured out. We all say technology is evolving, the way we interact is evolving, the way all the social digital technology is impacting how we have relationships, the way you and I at our age group is going to be very different the way my fourth grader, my eighth grader conducts relationships in their life, right? And so having that conversation is very important to me, important to all of us, which I celebrate. Now, yes, at the end of the day, I think on-demand teaching has a role. We have iTunes podcast, we have on-demand playback on our website. That has a place. Any sermon that we throw up on iTunes on the first month can have up to 20,000 downloads. And so it's a reminder to my teaching and preaching pastors that say, you are preaching and teaching here today, not to just the people in this room, not to just the people in our campuses or our state, but honestly, your reach, your impact and influence for the kingdom can be greater on a very literal basis, greater outside of our physical footprint here in New Jersey because of technology. And so on-demand teaching, great. It has its place. But to call it worship service and have the liturgy and walk through that, I think that's a conversation we definitely need to have at the forefront here.
Okay, so it's a conversation to have. And that's what social media .church is all about, conversations with church leaders about social media. So
yeah.
I'll aim to convene that, and it would be apt for us to convene that online.
Yes.
And have that conversation further.
Fantastic. I'd love to be part of that.
Okay. You're on the invite list. Okay. And you still play and tinker with traditional media. So not only are you old school with email, you also work in the channels of mainstream media with newspapers and television. I've seen you on television.
Yes.
Radio. So what's going on there? How does all that fit in?
Yeah, it's I think it's an integrated market approach, right? Part of my background is with Fortune 100 company and a brand team, explicitly being an advertising agency, PR media. Here at Liquid, we've actively used PR as one of those mediums. My team here has been successful in getting us onto CNN, ABC, Fox News, the Sunrise Show in Australia, which is equivalent to NBC Today, talk shows in Chicago, etc. So we definitely understand that broadcast mass media is still effective in reaching people. We have programs where we're actually actively doing dialers. We're calling people on the phone. So we orchestrate campaigns to follow up, say, for a life group event, recruiting leaders, et cetera. We'll have, those telephone lists, and we'll actually invite people that way. We have direct mail as a huge component. A lot of things that the Postal Service offers today makes it very affordable. We're even talking about lumpy mail or granny mail. I don't know if you know those tactics. So those are things that
What mail?
Lumpy mail and granny mail. Lumpy mail, right, is mail that's actually textual, 3D. So if it's not a flat envelope and there's something in it, the most, I guess, common one that you've seen in the past might be the Publisher's Clearinghouse, where they send you a penny inside the envelope. What's a penny worth? You walk over pennies every day. But if it's inside the envelope, you'll actually open it. So you get a huge open rate. right? That's lumpy mail, putting something in there that's worth something. So it might be a little we produced baseball cards for our last series called Home Run Faith. And so what if you sent a packet of custom baseball cards? We had heroes of, one for Paul and Timothy and stuff like that. So imagine if you sent those home. Those would get high open rates, and it's highly invitational to give out. Granny mail is literally handwritten emails. So no longer like handwritten fonts, but people sitting down and writing emails. There's
like
that. We haven't triggered that yet, but those are things that we're considering because old school communications work. Thank you notes are a huge part of our DNA, written thank you notes. Everyone from our volunteer teams to even on Sunday school. If your child comes to our Sunday school program, every leader on Sunday gets a packet of postcards with the child's name on it because we know at check-in who's coming on that Sunday. So by the end of that Sunday school session, that each group leader gets a list of who is in their group, a postcard. They write a personal note to them. We address them, stamp them, get them out in the mail on Monday. By Tuesday or Wednesday, every child gets a postcard if they visited on Sunday. And that's another touch point, right? First of all, if you're a kid, mail is just cool, getting mail every week. Second, it's a way to encourage them and say, hey, Johnny, I hope that test goes well, or I hope you're – soccer game on Wednesday, you do great. Or, tell me about your doctor's appointment, how it goes with that broken hand, if it's getting better, et cetera. Those follow-up touch points during the week allow you to have those sustained relationships on Sunday. So, yes, snail mail, old school, definitely worth looking into figuring out how to integrate it. It's not something to write off yet.
And I don't want to miss what you hinted at. You said the Postal Service is providing something that's affordable. What's going on there? I mean, they keep raising the rates. So what's that little secret, if you don't mind sharing that?
Sure. They have different programs, right? So you can go to outsource programs that I believe Outreach does with postcards by zip code targeting, where they'll find they'll give you lists of people who just moved into the neighborhood. I believe they do lookups of public records, datas of mortgage turnovers and, title exchanges, right? So that's how you get – when you move into a new house, all of a sudden you're flooded with credit cards or insurance offers, et cetera. So taking advantage of that, I think Outreach does a great program there. It's affordable. But the Postal Service itself has new programs where you can give them a stack of direct mail pieces. It could be of any size. And you don't even need to label them. You don't need to buy a bulk permit or anything like that. And they'll actually distribute to the entire zip code neighborhood. And the price per piece is quite cheap and affordable. I don't know what the latest price is, but it literally is just pennies more than what you would cost to produce the postcards. Much cheaper than a postcard postage. So I think the program is called Every Door or something like that. It's easy to Google. You can call your postmaster. But they have programs like that. Very easy to do.
So you get targeting, you get a lower postage rate. Wow.
Less on logistics. You don't have to buy lists. You don't have to lick and post stamps, or you don't have to buy a bulk mail permit. You don't have to label them. You literally just give them the stack of direct mail pieces, and they put it out. And you're not restricted on size. You can actually put a large 9x12 cardstock paper flyer if you really wanted to, and they get it to every single door within a zip code.
That's phenomenal. So there's even innovation in the post office.
They're trying hard, but you got to use what you can, whatever's available to you. And it's not you strategically use these tactics, whenever it's available, right? So if you go through a process for being strategic in your communications, right? There's this SWOT analysis, the SWOT framework, SWAT, that I use for all of our communications projects and client projects. Defining your sub-audience, figuring out what the win is for that sub-audience. That will determine what type of activity you're going to drive. And then depending on the activity and the audience, it's going to figure out – you're going to be able to figure out what tactic or technology to use to reach them, right? You're not going to always use Twitter. You're not going to always use email. You're not going to always use direct mail. But being strategic and using a framework like that really helps you to use different levers, different dials to get to your objectives.
Awesome. Now, here's the kicker question. How do we get you on socialmedia.church more often than once every 100 episodes.
I'd be here with you every week if you want, DJ. I love hanging out with you. I just got to buy a couple more orange shirts, and I think we're all set.
Well, let's have an offline conversation and see how we can do that. Awesome. I have played around with the idea of a co-host, but scheduling is still the kicker of how do we pull off co-hosting in asynchronous time. Actually, what's his name? Adam Curry used to do that with a co-host out in Europe somewhere, and he would just splice in the audio with some sidekick comments. Now we have to decide who's the sidekick.
Yes. Well, I mean, you're talking about like a Mystery Theater 2000 type of thing, right? When you're watching the film and you're just having the overlay of – you just pass the file back and forth and the conversation builds in layers.
Okay. Well, Kenny, so great to see you on Google Plus Hangout on air. And I can't wait to see you in person mid-November when I stop by New York City.
Adios. Have a good time. Thank you. And congratulations, DJ. Seriously, congratulations on this. Thank awesome.
You. It was because of you. All because of you, bro.
Thank you, Kenny Jang, for joining me on Social Media Church to celebrate this occasion. You know what? We wouldn't be here without Kenny Jang helping me to have that tipping point to get started with this podcast. And now we are celebrating 100 episodes. And the conversations will continue to flow here at socialmedia.church. That's the web address for the show notes. Connect with Kenny Jang, connect with me, and connect with each other. And I'd love to start some new things, new segments here at Social Media Church, but it takes participation from you. So until I hear from you, we'll continue with what we've been doing here, finding other great church leaders and good church leaders from around the country and around the world to continue our conversations about social media, because it is such a fast-moving development, and we want to keep our finger on the pulse of all kinds of different ways that social media can and should be used to extend our ministry for the sake of the gospel. And it's a very contextual art and science as well. And we foster all of that through conversation, through narrative, through stories. And then you can work out the details in terms of implementation and strategies and execution. So that's what we're doing here. We'll continue. And one of the things I'd love to do, if you will participate, is to set aside an episode a month strictly for Q&A, questions and answers. What I need you to do is to send in your questions and the questions that you hear about social media. And social media is such a broad spectrum, right? It covers not only Twitter and Facebook, it's also spilling over into Instagram and Google Plus and Snapchat and whatever the new app is coming out this week, app of the week. And we can have a conversation around that. And if I don't have the answer, I'll either find it or find someone that has it, or put it out there for you, the listeners, to chime in, and let's learn together. And thank you for listening to this episode of the Social Media Church Podcast. What we do is not possible without you as listeners, so thank you. And may we continue for another 100 or more episodes. We'll see as the Lord tarries and provides. Thank you for being a fan. Thank you for being a friend. And thank you for being a listener. I am DJ Chuang, signing off for the Social Media Church Podcast. And until next time, we'll stay connected online.